The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil.' He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another the steward said, 'And you, how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended the dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If therefore you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord. A rich man had a steward. My brothers and sisters, who is this reading about? Who is the richest of all persons? I actually got online this morning and I was looking up the richest people in the United States, right? Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and so on. Who is the richest of all persons? But God Himself, the creator of all that exists. And who are His stewards? You and I, every single one of us, entrusted with a certain amount of goods that God has created. And one day we will stand before Him and we will be accountable for what we did as His stewards. In the spiritual life, every single one of us, as we advance, as we grow in faith, there must come a point where we realize all that I have, it's not mine. All that I have is His, and He has entrusted me with it. And so I should do with it that which He desires, not that which I desire. We are His stewards. A number of years ago, some of you have heard this story before, I was working in a soup kitchen with the Missionaries of Charity. And we were serving dinner, and I'd go once a week, and I'd always have a different job. And on this one week, I was responsible for cutting the vegetables and the fruit, for preparing it for the meal. And so there's this long line, and I have a sister on each side of me. And I'm peeling the vegetables, and so there's a waste basket next to me. And I put the peelings in there, and I came upon, and this would happen over and over throughout the evening, I would come upon a vegetable that was bruised and brown and beaten, and I thought, gosh, I wouldn't eat this, right? So I say to the sister, I said, "Sister, do you want me to serve this?" And she said, "Oh, no, no, Father, we don't serve something like that." And I said, "I didn't think so." And I went to throw it away. And she goes, "Father, no, we don't throw away anything."
And I said, sister, well, if you're not going to give this to the poor, what are you going to do with it? And her face became very red because she was embarrassed. She didn't intend to say anything. She said, Father, the sisters will eat that. Everything that they had first and foremost, they used as stewards to serve the poor. I thought of Pope John Paul II, this man who it's unbelievable all that he accomplished in his life. Even as Pope, the amount that he traveled all over the world. And you think, gosh, with all those travels, how's he going to do anything else? He wrote more voluminously than any Pope in history. But even as a young man, the amount of knowledge that he acquired, the number of languages he learned, and people from time to time would say to him, you know, slow down, you got to get some rest, you're going to weary yourself out, you're not going to be good for anybody. And his response every time, he would say, when I get to heaven, there will be plenty of time to rest. Right? God has allotted me a certain amount of time on this earth, and I want to use it for His glory. One of my favorite priests, one of the priests I most admire, lived last century in Mexico. He was the Archbishop of Mexico City. And at the end of his life, realizing that he was a saintly man, they were trying to learn more about him. And so they went to interview a good priest friend of his. And they said, will you tell us about your friend? And he said, he's the most excellent priest I've ever met. It's remarkable what he has done. He only has one defect. He doesn't know how to say no to anyone. That interviewer went and reported that to the Archbishop himself. And a wry smile appeared on his face. And he said, you know what the worst part about that is? I don't intend to correct that defect. When he was installed as the Archbishop, he said this to his people. He said, I am here to promise you only one single thing. I am here to give my life for you. God had commended all those people to His care so He would spend Himself for them. Yesterday I got a text message from a lady, a parishioner, and it had two lines. The first said, I have a migraine. The second said, I am offering it for you. And I thought her suffering is not her own. It is for God. And she's using her suffering for His glory, being a steward even of her pain. One time, speaking with a Carmelite sister, she shared with me, we were speaking on a very personal level, and I said, sister, how are you doing? And she said, Father, I feel like our Lord has given me a great grace. She said, recently, when there is the slightest disturbance in my heart. Now, she's a cloistered Carmelite nun, right? So she's very attentive of her heart. She said, when there's the slightest disturbance to my soul, let's say I have a headache or a backache or I'm frustrated with one of the sisters or I'm feeling lonely, as soon as I'm aware of it, I say, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? For whom do you want me to offer this? We are God's stewards. Everything that we have is ultimately His. And we will be responsible for it when we stand before Him. And I close with this because it's our Lord's primary focus in the Gospel today. There's a very mysterious line. And when I read it, I go, what? He said this. He said, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. And I thought, make friends with dishonest wealth, right? That doesn't seem the right thing to do. Make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth. Now, what is dishonest wealth? It's not wealth that's been acquired in a dishonest way. There's not something wrong with money. But all the riches of this world, they are not true wealth. We cannot use them to buy heaven. And so our Lord is saying, use your wealth in such a way, use the money that you've been given, so that you will not be prevented by the use of it from going to heaven one day. Use your money generously. Give alms with it. Use it in such a way that you will be welcomed to glory one day. We ask our Lord for the grace today that we might be true stewards of all that He entrusts to us.